This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Getting up, getting out, or only just getting home? It's Joy Weekend Breakfast.
Talking of being happy, Jono, who's on the phone?
Oh, we have an incredible artist on the phone who has just, she's been around for a very long time, but she's come to national prominence in the last week or so on The Voice. We've got Cassie McIver on the phone.
Hey, welcome to Joy, Cassie.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
I always think it's funny, Cassie, when, you know, shows like The Voice come along and people start saying, oh, she's an overnight success. And it's like, well, she's been gigging for 15 years. So she's a 15-year overnight success story.
Yeah, she's been working for a while. Yeah, it's nice, though, to be doing it on this level.
Yeah. Now, you're a Melbourne girl, correct?
I am.
So tell us a little bit about your trajectory, you know, to get to The Voice, because it's an interesting story.
Well, I studied in Ballarat. And then I kind of started auditioning straight away and left the country. I found that the opportunities were opening up overseas for me. So I ended up in Japan. I traveled to Europe for a while. I found myself back in Asia in Macau for a few years working for the circus. And, you know, that kind of old story of I ran away with the circus. And, yeah. And then finally, I sort of pandemic hit and I found myself back home. And I thought, well, I really want to work it out here. And I always have wanted to work in Australia. There's just never, the timing's not been right. So I thought, well, let's go on The Voice and see what happens.
Yeah. And look what happened. It's incredible.
And Cassie, what's the process to get there? Do you approach them? Do they approach you? How does that initial piece work?
So it's slightly different for everyone. They do have scouts that work in the show, and I was contacted by one of the team, and they've done it for a few years now, tried to, you know, get me on the show, and the timing's never been right. So they get in touch with me, you know, you sort of put a list together of potential songs and go from there, basically.
Fantastic. That sounds so cool. Because you're going to get that call, don't you? And the other question I've got to ask you is, when you're on the show, is there any interaction with the judges before you actually get onto stage? So, and my other follow-up question in a minute is going to be about, did they get to listen to your, like, sound checks and rehearsals?
None whatsoever. You're completely separated. You're obviously in the filming in the same building, but it's at Carriage Works in Sydney. So I don't know if anybody's been there to see how big and massive it is. You're at one end and the judges are at the other end. So you never really cross paths until you're out there. It is so incredibly nerve-wracking.
Yeah, wow. And so take us through those moments before you sing, because, you know, you've gone out there, you're a professional singer, you know, not to sound arrogant or anything, like, you know that you're a singer, you know you can sing that song, but the moments before you cut that first chord kind of hits in and you're like, okay, here we go, were you just like, oh dear God, or were you like, I got this, I got it?
Oh, no, it's absolutely petrifying. I think in a lot of ways it's worse when you are a professional too, because, I mean, God forbid no one turns around. But that's why I think a lot of people thought that it was for TV, but I genuinely, that played out in real time. I stood on that stage and just took a deep, long breath, because previous to that I had microphones and hair and makeup and it was just pure madness backstage, and then I had producers saying, just remember your story and breathe and all this sort of stuff, and so I needed 1 minute to just calm down and get myself together.
And I mean, for those of us that have worked in the industry, you know, I assume there would be a lot of kind of hurry up and wait. Like, were you sitting around for ages and ages and ages before you actually kind of got up there to do it?
Yeah, I mean, that was about hour 12.
Oh,
and,
God.
Yeah, it was about 11 o'clock at night by the time I got off stage.
Wow.
And was done.
So, yeah, it is. I mean, that's a part of the process. You know, I would say it is a mental game as much as a performance. You know, you really have to know who you are, and you only get 90 seconds to show a little bit of what you can do. So you just have to kind of pick your lane, go there, and keep your head on. You know, all those skills that I suppose I developed through the years of, you know, building up that professionalism, that's what kicks in moments like that.
Well, you turned the chairs, you sang a big Celine Dion banger, you smashed it out of the ballpark. Everyone was impressed. Once you'd finished.
Hang on, Johnny, can I just interrupt one second?
Oh, you must.
I just found we were lucky enough that Channel 7 sent us the link to this. So just so people understand those first few moments, I'm going to make you relive this.
Oh, goodness.
And then, Johnny, you can finish off your question.
There were nights when the wind was so cold.
Keith Urban turns around.
I just listen to it right outside the window. I finished crying in the instant that you left, and I can't remember where or when or how. And I banished every memory you and I had ever met.
And then all three judges go around. Cassie is just so exciting.
It was so exciting. It's just so exciting as to see it. You know, to see those chairs turn around and to see the elation on a singer's face as they're still trying to sing. Because it's a difficult song, right? That's not the easiest one to pick. And you've picked it and you're like, well, I know I can do it in my room, but like, can I do it on a stage? But it was just amazing. And so why did you pick, why did you choose the judge you chose to go with?
I've always thought that success in this industry is, if you can have longevity, remain employed, not necessarily fame and celebrity. And I think that with Keith, he's always had an amazing foothold in this career, in the music industry, and he's also a musician. And I thought his pitch was really great too, you're ready, you just need all the other things behind you. So I think that for me is really what I was searching for. I'm looking for, that I've done all the work, I just need the backing, and the support.
Yeah, amazing. So you're on Team Keith. We know that you're going to perform again in the coming weeks. What would be your bucket list outcome of this? What would you just want more than anything else in terms of a record deal or a tour or what's Cassie's dream?
Cassie, I'm going to tell you, Jono is like dreaming here. He's smiling. His eyes have drifted off into difference. This is about Cassie, John.
Oh, well, I mean, look, don't we want it all, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
But I think specifically, I would just like a chance to really perform in the Australian industry and give back to it as well, and promote the arts. And of course, recording is always an amazing option. I definitely have some recordings that will hopefully be coming out by the end of the year. And I would ultimately love to have a Bond song, I think.
Ooh, oh, okay. Yeah. I'm down. I can see that.
You know what I mean? Something very dramatic, something, I'm seeing a gown, I'm seeing sparkle, I'm seeing, yeah.
That sounds delightful. I love that idea. Cassie, I'm going to say, you sound like, you are an ultimate professional. You said you were nervous jumping onto that stage to do that first audition. Just take yourself into the shoes of one of those genuinely unknown people that have been scooped up and put on there. What advice would you give to a younger person who actually managed to get to those blind auditions?
I mean, what I would say is to know who you are. And know what you want to do in that moment, I think. And try to be yourself as much as possible. I think we can feel it when it's forced. And I think it's really just important to try to be yourself, know what you want to show, know what you want to sing. And the reality that I think really helped me too was keeping in mind that this is a TV show.
Yeah.
And, you only get so long to show so much. And not everyone gets to see everything. And, sometimes it's out of your control. So you just have to be as kind and as giving and as yourself as possible.
That's so true. The editing of those TV shows, whichever one you go to, is always in the hands of the producers in the end. And, I think while you're on cam, you've got to do your right thing. Cassie, thank you ever so much for joining us here on Joy this morning. We're going to be watching The Voice and rooting for you this week.
And you must come and you must come and see us in studio when we're allowed. We Katie Weston. I'm sure Katie Weston came in just before we locked down and sang for us live. So we'd love to have you in on Brekkie. And I know it's early, but give us a little tune with a guitar or something. That'd be cute, wouldn't it?
Absolutely, it would be my pleasure. And you guys have moved as well, so I can't wait to see the new
pack. Yeah, it's amazing. And also, if anyone wants to follow along Cassie's journey, what's your Instagram page, Cassie?
@SassyCassiness.
Amazing.
Fantastic.
You can catch Cassie this week on The Voice. Thanks for joining us on Joy Weekend Brekkie. Cassie, have a lovely weekend.
Thank you so much. See you guys.
Bye. Thank you, Cassie. Bye.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.